Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GRP Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Gandhi, Managing Director, GRP Limited, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. And very good afternoon to you, ladies and gentlemen, that are on the call. Thank you for joining us on the Q2 and half-year FY25 earnings call for GRP Limited. Along with me today, I have our CFO, Ms. Shilpa Mehta, and SGA, our investor relations advisors, on the call. We have uploaded our investor presentation on the stock exchanges and the website, and I hope you all had the opportunity to view the same. Before I dive into the results, as we've been alluding to in our previous calls, our 50th year milestone isn't just about celebrating our legacy. I think all of us within the organization have been very clear that this is an opportunity for us to set the stage for our future. Over the past year, we've therefore been strategically evaluating high-growth adjacencies that align with our expertise and vision and aim to strengthen our position as a leader in the sustainable materials space. I'm eager to share a few of the highlights in this area. The recycling industry is undergoing a significant transformation, as we all know, marked by increasing global demand for sustainable materials. Within the industry of relevance to us, which are the tire manufacturers, they are actively and aggressively setting sustainability targets to integrate more recycled materials such as reclaimed rubber, crumb rubber, biopolymers, and pyrolysis-based polymers into their products and formulations. This shift has led to strategic partnerships being created between tire companies and recyclers to incorporate recycled content into their operations and is driving sustainability across the value chain. The recovered carbon black sector, as an example, and recovered carbon black is one of the key replacements to carbon black in the manufacturing of a tire, is entering a new growth phase driven by emerging markets like India and Asia-Pacific, as well as rising opportunities in North America and Europe. Standardization efforts for RCB are gaining momentum to enable a greater adoption of this material in tires. Beyond tires, non-tire rubber goods like conveyor belts and auto components are also starting to commercialize using recovered carbon black in their formulations. In Europe, the use of tire pyrolysis oil under mass balance systems is expanding, with petrochemical companies adopting its use to replace naphtha. And now, over the last few quarters, even virgin carbon black producers are forging agreements to source TPO as a replacement to CBFS or to blend RCB into their products and partner with RCB producers for outsourcing such materials. On trends in other materials that impact GRP's businesses, natural rubber prices for this year continues to trend higher during the year, and there is mostly because of a demand-supply mismatch, while synthetic rubber prices continue to stay elevated in tandem with the crude oil prices. Amidst these challenges, we have managed to implement a modest price increase for our reclaimed rubber portfolio in the quarter under review. Given the bullish demand in the coming years across geographies, our board had previously approved a CapEx investment of up to 250 crores for related diversification initiatives. This was to be executed in two phases. The first phase, involving an investment of about 150 crores, is scheduled for completion by December 2025, while the second phase will be contingent on the success of the initial projects. This project involves an outlay to grow capacity of crumb rubber manufacturing, including from radial tire sources, accompanied by downstream expansion in tire pyrolysis and recovered carbon black manufacturing. These expansions are progressing as planned and expected to commence operations in Q4 of FY25. To date, we have already incurred an expense of about 24 crores in CapEx towards this. This is in addition to CapEx incurred towards the creation of capacity for new technology to produce reclaimed rubber. To fund these growth projects, the company has signed a definitive term loan of up to €15 million to be drawn across three phases through an ECB from Properco of France. This partnership with Properco, which has, as an organization, been promoting sustainable economic, social, and environmental development for over 45 years, will not only address our funding requirements but also strengthen the integration of ESG principles into our operations and decision-making. Deepening our commitment towards sustainability, our investments in new technologies and the transition to renewable energy sources are specifically focused on reducing our carbon footprint. The company has committed to invest in an SPV to establish a 4.3 megawatt solar plant under a group captive power scheme in Maharashtra. This plant is expected to contribute to our target of sourcing 50% of our energy needs from renewable sources in the coming years. As part of this journey with Properco, we aim to further enhance our governance, transparency, and accountability metrics, which we will appraise you of through the BRSR framework in due course. The board has also approved raising an additional up to 150 crores to equity shares or other eligible securities via a qualified institutional placement or other permissible modes, subject to necessary approvals to fund not just the above opportunities but others that are also on the horizon. Our non-reclaimed rubber business has shown significant growth, with volumes increasing by 36% year-on-year during the quarter, accompanied by a double-digit EBITDA margin. This growth was primarily driven by strong sales in the engineering plastics business. We have successfully developed and commercialized grades of polyamide derived from ocean plastics and secured approvals from global majors into new markets, including the much stringent European nations. This underscores our ability to diversify raw material sources, reduce dependence on in-house inputs, and mitigate supply risks while broad-basing our customers within India and internationally across multiple end segments. On the anvil is a government regulation directing auto companies to use recycled plastics in new vehicles, which will possibly help our business grow further. Meanwhile, our repurposed polyolefins business, being operated under the wholly owned subsidiary GCSL, faces headwinds of delays in enforcement of plastic EPR regulations, which is stifling its scalability. While we remain optimistic about its growth potential, the evolving regulatory landscape is expected to drive the adoption of materials in plastics beyond the packaging sector. The sourcing of polypropylene poses unique challenges, as it is typically not entering municipal waste streams in the same way that other plastics do. While these challenges are ongoing and the PP segment continues to be harder than what was envisaged, we have taken proactive steps by signing an agreement with the brand owner to procure post-industrial recyclate in select regions. Revenue from our subsidiaries, which includes GCSL and GSPL, where the polyolefin business is housed, totaled 147 million in H1 of FY25. While these businesses incurred a loss during the period, we anticipate that they will start making a meaningful contribution to the bottom line as they build scale. At GRP, our team is focused on overcoming these short-term challenges towards long-term value creation. To further align our employees with this agenda and the growth of the company, select team members are being offered ESOPs, allowing them to actively participate in our continued success. With this operational background, let me hand over the call to Shilpa to take you through the financial highlights for the quarter and the year or the half year gone by. Shilpa, over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Let me take you through a brief on the consolidated financial highlights for Q2 and H1 FY 2025, along with operational performance. For Q2 FY 2025, our total income grew by 15% to INR 1,319 million, compared to INR 1,148 million in Q2 of FY 2024. Although no EPR income was recorded this quarter, we are strategically positioned to maximize value from our credits. With the CPCB portal setting the EPR price band between INR 2.5 to INR 8.4, we continue to focus on optimizing our approach to maximize benefit of the same. In the reclaimed rubber segment, our revenues rose by 9% on year-over-year basis to INR 1,119 million in Q2 FY 2025. Reclaimed export revenue increased by 8%, overcoming mixed trends in the global tire market, including growth in replacement tire demand, but declining OE demand, particularly for truck tires in Europe and North America, as well as challenges like Red Sea disruptions and container shortages. Domestically, reclaimed rubber consumption grew by 10% year-on-year basis in Q1 of FY 2025, and our domestic revenue grew at the same rate in Q2 of FY 2025 on year-on-year basis. GRP domestic market share has improved from 20% in FY 2024 to 22% Q1 of FY 2025. Gross profit for Q2 of FY 2025 stood at rupees 670 million, as compared to rupees 608 million in Q2 FY 2024. It was up by 10%, while gross margin stood at 51% for the quarter. EBITDA for Q2 of FY 2025 was rupees 100 million, compared to rupees 115 million in Q2 of FY 2024, reflecting a 13% year-on-year decrease. EBITDA margins for Q2 FY 2025 stood at 8%, as compared to 10% in Q2 of FY 2024. Profit after tax for Q2 FY 2025 was rupees 25 million, compared to rupees 47 million in Q2 of FY 2024, with a 47% decline on year-on-year basis due to a higher depreciation charge on account of new capacity creation and a rise in interest cost for the period. For H1 of FY 2025, the update is like this, that we are pleased to report that our revenue reached rupees 2,586 million in H1 of FY 2025, which is reflecting a 20% year-on-year growth. The revenue growth led to a meaningful rise in EBITDA. Of this revenue increase in the reclaimed rubber segment, our revenues increased by 16% in H1 of FY 2025 to INR 2,231 million. Our earlier investments in renewable energy sources, such as solar, wind, and bio-briquettes, have continued to deliver savings, resulting in a 2% reduction in energy cost, equivalent to rupees 47.6 million during the half year, despite increasing power tariffs between 9%-11% in base rates. Gross profit for H1 of FY 2025 stood at rupees 1,340 million, as compared to rupees 1,135 million in H1 of FY 2024, which is an increase by 18% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA for H1 FY 2025 is rupees 233 million, as compared to rupees 185 million in H1 of FY 2024. That is an increase of 26% over FY 2024. EBITDA margin for H1 FY 2025 was 9%, which is consistent with the margin of H1 FY24. Profit after tax for H1 FY25 is at rupees 69 million as compared to rupees 67 million in H1 of FY24, which is up by 3% on year-on-year basis. On the debt side, our gross debt, which includes both long-term and short-term debt, stood at rupees 1,155 million in H1 FY25, and our debt-equity ratio is at 0.69 in H1 FY25 compared to 0.67 as on March 2024. With this, I now open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Kabir Dewan from Rio Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Just a question from the EPR credit. What is your strategy on EPR credits in coming quarter? As I could see, there's no revenue coming in this quarter from EPR credits.
So as far as the EPR revenue is concerned, we have maintained that our policy will continue to be booking the revenue on a cash basis, on a cash sale basis. We continue to build inventory of EPR credits, and in the last few months, there has been one change as far as the regulatory update is concerned. Starting September, the government has put in place notification to announce the minimum support price and the ceiling price for the credits, which was one of the uncertainties until September. So given that condition, now there is a little more predictability on the price of the credits and therefore way to sort of estimate the revenue potential for the same. However, on the other side, as far as the number of credits itself is generated, since we are in year two of the regime, currently the producers are required to procure up to 70% of their production of the previous 2 years as credits in this year. We will know the full extent of the impact once it gets to 100% requirement as to whether there is a demand-supply imbalance or not. And as a result of that, if there is likely to be any change to the weightages in the assignment of credit, we will not know until the regime is at 100% of procurement of credits. So as a result of that, we have not sold any credits in Q2 of FY24, and we continue to build an inventory of the credits that we have on the portal.
Okay, I think fair enough. And again, on circling back on the same thing, if it remains at 70% or if it remains at 100%, can you share how many credits do we have, maybe a tentative number?
As I said, because there is lack of clarity as far as the final weightages and the conversion factors, there may be changes undergoing in that. As a result, so far we have refrained from announcing the number of credits because these are subject to fluctuations. As I said, as and when we book income against the credits that are there, we will not be in a position to announce the number. Last year, as I have mentioned again, I mean, we have sold a large part of credits of 22-23 in FY24. Some others were sold in Q1 of this financial year.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is that for the last three consecutive quarters, there has been a constant increase in raw material prices. As prices are revised with customers every quarter for our company, so I believe that in this quarter we will see gross margin expansion because of price revision with customers. However, that is not played out. So, sir, by when do you think we can pass on the raw material increases to the customers?
Thank you. So, gross margins, both function of the realizations as well as the raw materials. You're right that gross margins over the last couple of quarters, consecutive quarters, there has been a little pressure. This is on account of two factors. One is the dip in the export volumes, and as has been said in the past, our margins from exports have been always higher than the margins in the domestic market. The fact that our export volumes on a quarter-on-quarter basis in absolute terms has dropped, this has partly affected or resulted in the gross margin reduction. The other factor is also the product mix. I think our gross margins are not always consistent on a like-to-like comparison because there are certain synthetic rubbers that are much higher value than the natural rubber reclaims we sell. So depending on the percentage of mix between natural and synthetic rubber, our overall gross margins vary accordingly. In the last couple of quarters, there has been increasingly more pressure on synthetic rubber reclaims when it comes to margins, and that is the reason that the overall margins are a little muted. I would say even this quarter, the way the outlook is, given that more than half of this quarter is over, we are continuing to see a little bit of a pressure on gross margins on account of both the lower sales in the export market as well as a little pressure as far as the raw material prices are concerned for the synthetic rubber-based reclaims. When it comes to tire-based or natural rubber-based reclaims, our margins continue to actually, I mean, there has been an expansion in the margins there, but synthetic rubber continues to be a little bit subdued on account of this. With synthetic rubber, our sales are mostly international, so therefore it's a double whammy. When the demand for synthetic rubber reclaims drops, it's mostly the international markets, and that's why the overall gross margins are impacted a little more than otherwise.
Thank you, sir. So, what percentage of sales are natural rubber versus synthetic rubber?
Roughly 60-odd percentage of our volume sales are natural, while about 40 has been synthetic. But as far as the current year is concerned, I mean, as I said, the exports has dropped from a little more than 60% in the previous year to closer to about 54-55%. And when it comes to natural rubber-based reclaims, the number kind of continues a little bit at a similar level.
So your presentation mentions that synthetic rubber prices have remained elevated. So is it fair to understand that when the prices remain elevated, that time we witness an adverse mix?
Yes, you're right. While synthetic rubber prices would be higher, it would be easier for us to absorb the or rather pass on the price increases to the customers. But this financial year, along with the synthetic rubber prices, the freight costs have gone up, and therefore our ability, I mean, if you look at last year, freight costs had come down over a period prior to, you know, compared to FY23, and we were able to ride on the margin expansion on account of the export freight reduction. In FY25, we have seen for the first 6 months, in fact, up till October, the freights were fairly high compared to FY24 freights on account of the Red Sea tensions, which now we are starting to see the moderation happen. But as a result of the freight price increases, not all of the raw material price increases in synthetic rubber, we were able to pass on. This quarter, while the benefit of freight is available, the price increase in materials is a little more steep than before. But I do see that as there will be a little bit of a, if I may, next year, the demand outlook is looking fairly flattish. I would expect that the raw material prices would sort of start moderating post December, January of this fiscal.
Okay, so what I understood is that if the synthetic rubber prices go up and the trade prices reduce, so that would be a favorable scenario for us, and that could be a scenario where we would experience expansion in gross margins. Is this understanding correct?
Look, ideally, whatever increases in prices, if we are able to pass through, obviously we'll retain or improve our margins, but that's an ideal world, unfortunately, where we don't live in. There is a demand-supply imbalance at times, but increasingly, as I said, freight costs for this year have been a little high, and that has been compounded with higher raw material prices for synthetic rubbers, and has been compounded further with our export volume dropping a little bit compared to the previous year. So I would say it's a combination of these three factors where the gross margins are lowered on a sequential basis over the last three quarters.
So actually, raw material is end-of-life tire for us. So actually, I'm unable to track the raw material prices. Is there a way where we can track the end-of-life tires, or is it correlated or interlinked with any commodity that we can track on a quarterly basis or monthly basis to understand how our gross margins could pan out?
Sure. So I'll say our sourcing of raw materials is end-of-life tires, which is all going towards the natural rubber reclaim. But then the synthetic rubber reclaims are all based on automotive inner tubes, EPDM profiles, etc., which are actually which have no link to the tire prices. So they are two operating in independent categories. When it comes to waste tire prices, they are dependent a little bit on prices of oils, because the alternate use for end-of-life tire waste is tire pyrolysis, and therefore the prices of furnace oil as well as crude oil have a role to play in determining the price of the end-of-life tires. When it comes to synthetic rubbers, that is not the same dynamic at play. There are other factors at play, which is because synthetic rubber reclaim is produced in several other parts of the world, and therefore, there's global trade has a role to play, so is the freights have a role to play, etc. So the two dynamics are very different when it comes to natural rubber reclaims as well as synthetic rubber reclaims.
All right. Another question was that PPT mentioned that the company has incurred, and you mentioned in the opening remarks also, that we have incurred a CapEx of 24 crores for this new project of recovered carbon black and pyrolysis oil. So this will commence from 4Q FY25. I was under the impression that our phase one CapEx will complete by December 25, and post that only our plant will start. So some clarity on how this is going to work, I mean, from when can we book revenues from the current CapEx, and also if you can lay out the CapEx breakup, like how much would you spend in FY25, FY26, FY27?
Sure. So I'm happy to comment on what we would spend. I mean, as has been indicated, we have considered a total outlay which is far larger, but by December 2025, the total CapEx starting earlier this fiscal, which is, we've been mentioning that right from when the land acquisition for this new project all the way through to expansion of reclaimed rubber capacity using new technology, as well as setting up this new project as a greenfield, all of it is within the overall CapEx of 150 crores. Out of this, the project which is the greenfield project for production of crumb rubber, production of tire pyrolysis oil, and production of recovered carbon black, this in itself will also come in two phases on that same piece of land. And therefore, the 150 will be through the entire phase of all of these capacities getting commissioned. We are starting the crumb rubber facility and one line or one phase of the tire pyrolysis facility, for which commissioning will be completed in this fiscal. And therefore, in Q4 of FY25, revenues from this phase one of phase one. So I would say phase 1A would be operationalized. There is a certain further investment in building out downstream of recovered carbon black, etc., which would be another 3-5 months post the commissioning of phase 1A. And then there is the phase 1B, which will be an additional line of pyrolysis and chrome, which will all be completed by December. So this is a fairly large project, and therefore we are phasing it out such that revenues can start from Q4 of this fiscal. And as we are adding more parts to it, both at the upstream and downstream, and we are also building capacity, all of this will be completed by December 2025. As I said, part of this 150 crore will also be used for adding capacity of reclaimed rubber using the new technology, one line of which has been commissioned, and the other lines for that will get commissioned also during either the Q1 or Q2 of FY 2026. And that is also inbuilt in this phase one of overall 150 crores. I think some of this, if there is a need for clarity, we will update our investor presentation or provide more details of the same after the Q3 results of the company. By then, there will be greater clarity on the timelines, and we'll be happy to provide a more detailed timeline on this.
Okay, sir. So if time permits, one more question I'd like to add.
Can I request you to drop back in the line and allow for other participants to ask the questions? I'll come back to you for sure, Radha.
Yes, sir. Yes, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from Ajay Kumar Surya from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, we have incurred a CapEx of around 24 crore.
I'm sorry, I am not able to hear you clearly, Ajay. Can you speak up a little?
Is it better now?
Not that much, sir. If you're using the speakerphone, may we request to use the handset mode?
Is it better now?
Not much.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Now it's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir, I wanted to quickly ask on the capacity which we are building for recovered carbon black and the tire pyrolysis. That capacity, the technology which we have adopted for manufacturing the recovered carbon black, and on the product approval side, do we have approvals from the tire companies for selling the recovered carbon black, or are we going to sell this for non-automotive users?
As far as recovered carbon black is concerned, it is, as I mentioned, the phase 1A, B, and C. The recovered carbon black will be part of 1B. So therefore, currently, we are evaluating a couple of technologies which are based on a combination of equipment which we are sort of customizing based on our understanding of the industry. So we only have a pilot plant at the moment from where we have commenced sampling, but this is not the commercial plant, and therefore we do not have any approvals from any tire manufacturer as of today. As I mentioned in the preamble or in the opening, we will be exploring offering our RCB not just to the tire companies, but also working closely with virgin carbon black producers as well as petrochemical majors when it comes to sale of the tire pyrolysis oil. So we're keeping our options open and working with not just tire companies, but also with others in the value chain. As far as the capacities are concerned, it's fairly complex because the capacity of crumb rubber, part of it will be used for sale externally, part of it will be used for in-house consumption for TPO as well as reclaimed rubber. And then within the pyrolysis capacity, some amount of capacity will be captive for production of recovered carbon black, while some amount of material will get sold. So I think some of it we will provide clarity on as part of the timeline that we put out in Q3. It's a little complex because we will be building the largest capacity of crumb rubber, followed by a funnel-down capacity of pyrolysis, followed by a funnel-down capacity of the recovered carbon black. We'll be able to provide all this information in the subsequent presentation uploaded post the quarter three results. by which time hopefully we will commission this capacity. So I think the announcement will follow closely with the capacity commissioning as required by the stock exchanges as well as by the DIPP.
Got it, sir. No worries. Sir, my next question is on the EPR income. Sir, you mentioned that there are.
Sorry, Ajay, your voice is again muffled.
Hello, is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, sir, my question is on the, you mentioned that there has been a regulatory update where the floor and ceiling price has been announced for EPR credits. So I just wanted to ask, the previous credits which we have sold, are those in that price band, or have we sold that above the price band which has been announced by the regulatory bodies?
So I have made, I mean, during the previous calls, clear that we have sold credits at prices ranging between 2.8-3.5 rupees a kg. As I mentioned, the floor price has been set at 2.54 rupees a kg. So most of our past credits have sold above the minimum support price, way below the ceiling price, but reasonably higher than the minimum support price. And we have not sold the credits which were available to us for the FY 2024 production, but we will be undertaking sale of those during the course of the next two quarters, including this one.
Okay, sir. So my final question is again on the reclaimed rubber. So can you provide the current capacity, the current capacity utilization? And you mentioned that we are adding a new line and reclaimed rubber, changing the method of production. Suppose that, what will be our capacity in reclaimed rubber? If you can also provide that.
Yeah, so our stated capacity for reclaimed rubber is 72,000 tons or 72 KTA, of which currently we are operating at closer to 90% of utilization. As far as our new tech is concerned, the capacity will be to the order, depending on the product, and again, we are in the process of final configuration and deciding how much of natural and synthetic rubber it can produce. But between the two categories of products, the capacity could be between 3.5-5 KTA, and there the utilization is much lower, closer to maybe 30% or thereabouts, because we are still in the phase of product approvals and process stabilization. We are much closer. I mean, we've now moved. I've been mentioning that this is a technology which will allow us to produce a better quality reclaim with lower emissions and lower dependency on manpower. I must state, since you asked the question, that we have moved to advanced stages of piloting with two tire companies in India. And with one of them, we are already having conversations about possible commercial volumes. But I think we're fairly hopeful that before the end of this fiscal year, we should get a meaningful approval and hopefully start adding capacity as well as utilizing more than 50-60% of that capacity as well.
That is very interesting, sir. And sir, just follow up on
I would prefer if participants keep the number of questions to two, at best three, otherwise we won't be able to do justice to the rest. So again, Ajay, if I may request, if you could drop back to come back in the queue.
Sure, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question comes from Karan Gupta from Invest Savvy PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So, first question is how much EPR credit we have, as we are confused about the EPR conversion, but in terms of units, can we measure that before?
So, Arjun, can we get an annual, an estimate of, let's say, what kind of number are we generating on a quarterly basis and what inventory we have, assuming, let's say, the rate is 60 rupees a unit? Now, I know it's a ballpark, very off, but say 2.5-3 rupees a unit, if you get, because we have we are not able to ascertain that. What is the kind of inventory which has already been generated? And what is the plan like?
Well, I think, I mean, I can answer the question in terms of how you can, how one can estimate the EPR. But as I mentioned, some of this continues to remain fluid and therefore it's tough to put an exact number. Yes, we do have an inventory of credits, but as I said, because there is uncertainty around the weightages as well as the conversion factors, and there is a likelihood that this may change, it is very, it won't be fair for me to put out a number of current inventory.
You can give us a very, sir, the challenge is if you, it's fluid, if you can't estimate, you can obviously understand we are in a much worse position to try and estimate.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I don't want to unnecessarily mislead.
I will take it with a handful of salt instead of a pinch of salt. And you can give a wider range also, but some estimate as to what is there, because basically EPR is becoming an integral part of the company value. It is no longer a small portion of the overall revenue. It could be a large portion. So at least some guess if you go to hazard. Because you are definitely much better placed than any of us to get anywhere close.
I get your question and I understand your conundrum. I will answer this. I've already, if you think about it, Karan, if you put numbers together, I've already answered this. It's just that I can't go beyond a certain level of disclosure. The formula for EPR, and I'm reminding you again, is very clear. It's there on our investor presentations, but I'll be happy to take you through this. It is the quantity of reclaimed rubber that we sell, which is produced from domestic waste of materials that we procure, multiplied by a weightage, which in case of reclaimed rubber is 1.3, multiplied by a conversion factor, which for reclaimed rubber currently is 1.3, multiplied by a yield factor, which for waste tires is at 78%. So that is broadly the amount of credits that we generate. I've already answered the question on capacity utilization, and therefore if you put all of this together, you will have a fair estimate of what is the current inventory of EPR that we are holding current. I think this is
from our conversion and 78% for yield.
I'm sorry, again,
you said quantity into weightage of 1.3, conversion of 1.3, and yield of around 78%.
The yield is essentially for every tire, the extent of rubber that comes out is about 0.78, and that's why there is a 1 divided by 0.78 or 1.3 times of that, which is how it is getting. So very broadly, if you were to look at it, off our domestic sourcing, whatever is the reclaim that we produce, multiplied by 1.3, multiplied by 1.3. That's a fair estimate of the number of credits that we are generating. Now, I'm saying this in multiple conference calls that our sourcing percentage from domestic and import sources I've been putting out there. I've been putting out our capacity and utilization, and this formula is out there. So, Karan, I think it's beyond this to put out a specific number would be unfair. Disclosure of things which is not within our purview.
The thing is about what percentage?
I'm sorry?
What is the domestic percentage range?
I can't hear you clearly, Karan. I'm sorry, but your line is not very clear.
Domestic sources, what percentage of total sourcing?
Look, for last year we have indicated that about 92% of our total sourcing was domestic. This changes on a month-to-month, year-to-year basis. So this is as much of information that we can provide for you to estimate the...
And current, this year, what kind of capacity do you expect to utilize?
I gave that answer in the previous question. We are currently operating for our traditional capacities at closer to 90% and for new tech at closer to 30 to 35%. I've already given these numbers, Karan.
Great. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from Tanya Desai from Elevate Research. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Tanya. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. My first question is, what steps are being taken to improve profitability for GCSL and GSPL? Also, how soon do we expect these subsidiaries to start contributing positively to our bottom line?
Thank you. Why don't you run through all your questions so I'll answer them all together?
All right.
You said you have a couple of questions. That's why I'm asking this.
Yeah. Yeah. My second question is regarding the non-RR segment. That particular segment has shown a promising potential. So how do you see this segment evolving in the next few quarters? I just have these two questions.
Perfect. So I'll start with the second question first. The non-reclaimed rubber business within GRP is essentially the business of polyamide, which is nylon recycling, as well as the rubber composite and the CDF businesses, which are fairly small businesses at the moment, but they are fairly strategic for the overall operation. As far as the engineering plastics or the nylon business is concerned, I have indicated that we are slowly getting to an increasing level of utilization as we are getting approvals both from global compounding players, I mean engineering plastic compounders, as well as tier two and tier three automotive component producers, as well as making inroads in the furniture and the electrical segment. So we are starting to diversify our customer base across these four broad categories, and we are slowly but surely getting customer approvals from this. These are fairly, I mean, it took us some time to establish a set of products, but now we are fairly confident and we are kind of building the scale there. We have capacities of roughly 6 KTA, of which now we are getting to closer to 75+% of utilization, 70+% of utilization levels, and we are fairly confident that as this scale-up happens, we should be able to target more markets. We have now, in the last two quarters actually, basically this financial year, we've got a couple of global approvals, and therefore we are starting to see that this business will also have an export potential in markets where automotive products require recycled plastics to be incorporated, Europe being one of the key examples or markets for this. So we are building out scale in there, getting more approvals, and becoming a preferred supplier to several compounding companies. Now, therefore, that is as far as the outlook for non-RR is concerned. We are fairly confident that by end of this year, if we get to beyond 85% utilization, we will start drawing up plans for the next round of expansion for the engineering plastics or the polyamide business. So that's broadly as far as the non-RR is concerned. Sorry, within non-RR, I didn't touch upon, but the composite and the CDF business currently are maintaining status quo. We are working on a few developments, and as and when we have any progress to report, I will come back to you on the same. Now, getting to the subsidiaries, which is GCSL and GSPL. GCSL is a subsidiary created only for the purpose of repurposed polyolefin recycling, and that's one where, as I've been indicating in my past conversations, plastics, or rather the polyolefin plastics, are a much larger opportunity volume-wise compared to rubbers and some of these others. But this is a fairly nascent industry. This has been established on the back of government regulations mandating circularity for packaging companies and brand owners that are in the paint, lubricant, and all kinds of other organized rigid packaging spaces. However, the regulation has been pushed out 1 year on account of the lack of readiness by the recycling industry to meet the demand for this material, both from a performance as well as a capacity point of view. So while currently the brand owners have approved our material for use in their packaging requirements, until the regulation kicks in, there is no hurry for the brand owners to incorporate this on a regular basis. So we are hoping and waiting for April 2025 for the regulation to kick in before the demand curve sort of picks up on a steep basis. As far as GSPL is concerned, it is a company that was set up for sourcing of end-of-life tire and plastic waste in different parts of the country and to set up satellite units that can become feeders for our main units. The idea being that end-of-life waste collection is optimized when it is semi-processed and reduction in size is achieved before it goes to our main units. Now here, a large part of this is based on achieving a certain scale and then expanding the footprint of collection when the mother units require larger volumes. So this is in some ways a longer term thought process where as our pyrolysis business gains momentum and requires much larger volumes, the GSPL or the unit for semi-processing of tire waste will actually start adding much more value to GRP because we will be collecting material from far off places, processing it into semi-processed crumb rubber before it moves to our mother unit such that the efficiency and optimization of freight can take place and overall cost synergies can be achieved. Since this is linked to a large part to the setting up of the tire pyrolysis businesses and the crumb rubber facilities, as and when that unit comes up by Q4 of FY25 and keeps building up, the profitability of GSPL will also improve. I hope this answers the questions on the subsidiaries and how we are seeing them likely to contribute to the profitability going forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. This was really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ritesh Poladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, some time back we had announced for right issue and then that plan was dropped. And I believe in last con call it was mentioned that this 250 crore capex would be done in internal accrual and through debt. And now again, there is a QIP of 150 crore and ECB loan. So, sir, what are the plans to finance this 250 crore and how do you propose to go for this QIP?
Thank you so much. I think it's a fair ask because in the last 1 year we have made several of these announcements and intentions. So I appreciate your asking the questions. So, I mean, let me take you through each of these. I mean, the rights issue was announced at the time, more or less same time as last year. Unfortunately, the approval processes from the stock exchange were fairly lengthy. And during the period of the approval received from this, both the stock exchanges, there was a fair run-up in the share price as a result of which there was a lack of confidence by a large portion of the investors as far as the subscription is concerned. And as a result, while we have that approval and we are still contemplating exercising the same, we decided to look at alternate means of funding. As we had indicated in the overall plan that we want to look at a combination of debt, equity and internal accruals, we continue to maintain that same balance as far as the deployment of the funds is concerned. The ECB was taken both with the view that it fulfills our debt component of the contribution. However, going to a DFI was more to validate the technology given that things like RCB, TPOs, etc. are more mainstream and commercialized in Europe and therefore getting a validation of a European development agency allows us to sort of validate what we are doing, provides us also comfort and confidence when it comes to the technology that we are working with. And of course, in the long run, we believe that there will be a fair amount of synergies with the kind of companies that they are working for. So rather than a traditional plain vanilla bank loan, we decided to look at a DFI ECB to fulfill the debt part of the obligation. The reason that the QIP has also been taken is that as we are having the conversations with our customers, we are seeing that the need to build scale will be much quicker than what we thought we would need in the past. And that's why we are taking this enabling resolution from the board to allow us to look at this equity infusion. Of course, it will go through the necessary approvals as far as the shareholders are concerned. And at that stage, once we receive the approvals and we know the sense of enthusiasm as far as investment is concerned, within the equity route, we will now have an option of looking at a QIP and or the rights to fulfill the equity portion of the commitment. As far as internal accruals are concerned, we have already maintained that steps are being taken to improve the profitability through combination of investment in reduction in energy costs as well as building scale that will allow us to make more profits, and that along with the EPR income accrual will address the third leg of the contribution, which would be the internal accruals. So, I mean, these are enabling resolutions up to a maximum of, and it will depend a lot on the level of dilution, the level of investor interest, and also the investment in the project will also be, as I mentioned, across multiple phases. So we will be very careful in ensuring that we will not over-leverage. We will draw against what we create as capacity and what we add as investment on the ground. So I think the idea of taking the resolutions and taking the permissions is to allow us the flexibility. Final calls will be taken based on the most prudent mix of the three, which is the internal accruals, the debt, and the external equity raise.
Sure. That's fairly elaborated. The other thing was this 15 million euro ECB. It's from that development institution, Proptaro. So is this having some differential interest rate, or it is a market-driven, or what are the other advantages to go for a DFI?
So two parts. One is the loans are not going to be at a preferential rate in any way. I mean, they're going to be on par with other debt securities. But with the added monitoring as far as ESG credentials are concerned, and therefore there are specific targets that we have jointly adopted towards environment compliances for reducing carbon emissions and overall GHG reduction, as well as social impact measures that we are building in as part of our business plan and are getting recognized by the DFI with support that they will provide us on several of these social agendas and social impact along our supply chain, along our target for women empowerment, as well as community building, etc. So the DFI will help us on the ground for the development of the supply chain, which is a key component of our business plan itself. So that's one of the reasons. The third is, of course, that given that your company generates 60% of its revenue to foreign currency, ECB makes sense given that there is a natural hedge as far as the payment of the principal and the interest are concerned. So combination of these three factors, we have decided to go for a DFI ECB rather than, as I said, a plain vanilla interest, I mean, Indian bank loan.
Sure. Yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
I think we'll probably extend it, take one last set of questions. Moderator?
Sure. The next follow-up question comes from Ajay Kumar Surya from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, my question is more on the, if you can throw some light on what's happening across the industry, because even we are expanding aggressively. So if you can also highlight, are other players also setting up capacities all in terms of reclaimed rubber, pyrolysis, or the recovered carbon black? How aggressively are they building in capacity, and what sort of challenges or opportunities do we see in the market going forward? And just another one on the previously asked question by me. So sir, what sort of capacity are we planning to add in the phase 1B for recovered carbon black? And do we expect the margins to be better than the reclaimed rubber? That's it from my side.
Right. So I'll take each of these questions separately. First one is regarding the competitive opportunities or what's happening as far as the competitive landscape is concerned. And I'll divide this into three separate sections. I mean, you talked about reclaimed rubber. I think within the reclaimed rubber space, we do understand that there are several of our competitors that are also expanding in line with what the market expectations are. Most of the organized players, in my view, would be expanding given that the proximity to the tire companies or the relationships with the tire companies would ensure that there is growth for them as well as they grow. So I would say if you were to look at the tire sector, there is a fair bit of growth that is expected, and that growth should obviously mean that there will be an expansion of capacity as far as reclaimed rubber for tire sector is concerned. When it comes to the GRG sector or the non-tire sector, it has been fairly strange, but in India, in the last 1 year or so, there has been a significant growth even in the non-tire consumption of reclaimed rubber. So, you know, this is an industry which is a lot more sensitive to prices in virgin rubbers. And therefore, as the virgin rubber prices have moved up in this calendar year, there is an increasing consumption of reclaimed rubber by the GRG sector as far as India is concerned. I don't know and can't comment on whether this growth is going to be sustained into the coming years, especially if the virgin rubber prices sort of reverse from here on forward. So we are pegging our growth as far as reclaimed rubber capacities are concerned more to the expectations and conversations we are having with the tire industry. I can't comment on whether the others that are expanding are mirroring that growth or are growing beyond or lower than what the expectations of the tire sector is. So that's far as the capacity for reclaim is concerned. Within the reclaimed rubber space, there is maybe one or two players more that are adding capacity with the type of new tech, if I may, and I'm saying new generation of technology for reclaimed rubber, which will be you know, less dependent on manpower, etc. And there is some amount of capacity expansion in that space that is happening, not as much in India, but mostly in North America and Europe. So we are seeing some amount of competitor intensity from those markets when it comes to capacity creation for reclaimed rubber using quote-unquote new generation of technology. When it comes to the next part of your question, which is the capacity for recovered carbon black, I think we're going to, the reason why this is being done in phases is very clear that we need to validate the product and get approvals from carbon black producers as well as from the tire companies. So the reason we are keeping it as a phase 1B is because we want to first establish our technology for pyrolysis as well as crumb rubber, ensure that the right product is put through our pilot process to produce the right product which gets approval, and thereafter we will sort of create the large capacity as far as commercial scale is concerned. So at this stage it may be a little premature to announce what is the capacity of RCV that we are setting up, although we do have an idea of what that configuration is likely to be. I will only answer this a little subjectively. The capacity has to be large enough so that the tire industry will be interested in it, and it has to be a little small to ensure that the financial risk of the investment is not going to be a burden or as far as the balance sheet is concerned. So I think that balancing is something that we will look at the right stage once our pyrolysis unit and our crumb rubber facilities get built out. The other side is also the crumb rubber itself. I mean, there has been a lot of public news around the use of crumb rubber for road surfacing and other sectors. So mirroring that, as I have mentioned in the past, this is not a high technology area, but this is an industry and a product category that we can expand into quickly because we have the know-how and the technology. So we are putting up capacity and we will start getting a feel of those markets which are not to do with the rubber industry, but outside of the rubber industry, which could be road surfacing and others. So we will mirror the capacity to reflect what tire pyrolysis is, but we are creating a buffer and an excess capacity of crumb rubber which we will want to use for non-reclaimed rubber or non-pyrolysis applications as well. So that capacity is also inherently getting created as part of this expansion. I think I've answered all your questions with regard to the competitor landscape, capacity creation, as well as the RCB. I hope that addresses your...
So just on the margins, if you can also like add a comment like what sort of margins and asset turn would be in the capex for RCB.
So RCB, as I said, since it's going to be an investment that we will be making at least 6 months after our pyrolysis plant comes on stream, I would say it's a little early for me to comment on whether the margins will be equal to or better than reclaim. Of course, our aspiration and objective would be to have margins which would be better, but I think we will at some stage start looking at consolidated margins because we will have one raw material and five different end applications or industries to cater to. So at some point, we will start looking at consolidated margins, and the expectation, and I think the confidence is very clear, Ajay, that the overall margins with us having multiple industries to sell to and having multiple raw materials, which is not just relying on bias tires, but also being able to use radial tires, also being able to use two-wheeler and four-wheeler tires, will allow us to get much better margins than what we are getting on a consolidated basis. So I can leave you with that thought, that overall margins at an EBITDA level would be significantly better, given that we will use different raw materials, and TBB or the truck and bus bias is among the most expensive raw material, and all the others are much lower costs. And us having access to a much larger set of industries will ensure that our overall margin pool will be better than what it is currently.
Got it, sir. Got it.
Leave you with that thought, and we thank each of the participants for attending this meeting, because I mean, I'm sorry it's taken a little longer than what we expected, but happy to have addressed all the queries. If there are any specific queries that any one of you may have independent of this, be more than happy to address them. Please write to us at our investor relations link on the website, and/or reach out to our investor relations advisors, which is SGA, who are on the call today. Be more than happy to take some of these calls and address your concerns from time to time. Thank you once again for attending this conference, and look forward to speaking to you all in a quarter from now. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of GRP Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.